I have found that, you know, parents are like, but wait, my baby's perfect. They're starting to think there's something wrong with their baby. And what I found to be a more effective tool is to show them a photo.
You're listening to the Tongue Tie Experts Podcast, a weekly program providing information and support for those families impacted by tongue and lip tie and the professionals caring for them. I'm Lisa Palladino, a midwife and a lactation consultant with over 30 years of experience. If you are a parent looking for answers or a professional who is curious to learn more than what you learned in school on this topic, welcome. This podcast is for you. A gentle disclaimer. Please do not consider anything discussed on this podcast by myself or any guest of the podcast to be medical advice. The information is provided for educational purposes only and does not take the place of your own medical or lactation provider. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Tongue Tie Experts Podcast. This is Lisa Palladino, and I am so thrilled to have my guest today. Renee Beebe is an IBCLC, just like I am, and I always love chatting with my IBCLC friends. Let me just read her bio, and then I'll tell you more about what's so exciting about Renee. Renee Beebe has been working in the field of lactation since the birth of her first child in 1990 as a La Leche League leader, a postpartum doula, and an IBCLC. She draws from her background in education and child development every time she works with a breastfeeding dyad. Since becoming certified as an IBCLC in 1997, Renee has supported families through home, hospital, and clinic visits, drop-in groups in the Seattle area, and phone and telehealth consultations internationally. She has spoken for Gold Lactation, ICAP, the LC&PP Conference, and USLCA and CLCA. Renee has assisted with over 2,000 frenotomies with scissor and laser release providers. She understands how confusing the issue of tongue tie can be for families. When she's not busy with babies, Renee enjoys all that the Seattle area has to offer, including hikes, concerts, art museums, and hanging with her two grown daughters, their partners, and her new toddler grandbaby. Travel happens whenever possible and usually includes a lactation conference and gaining a global perspective on all things breastfeeding. Welcome, Renee, and the global perspective. That's how we met, right? We met finally in person a little over a year ago, right? In
2022.
Yeah, in Vancouver. And we had known each other online. Like, I feel like we're old friends and we have so much in common, right?
Well, and we were wearing the same outfit.
That too. You know what? I should find that picture and post it of us
so
in
cute.
Our. It was animal print day at the conference we're at, the ICAP conference. So every chance I get, I like to shout out ICAP and invite everybody to come to the ICAP conference. You know, I have no monetary associations with it or anything. I just love ICAP and I'm a proud member. And so is Renee. Renee's very involved as well. And I'm really excited about it this year in May. So if you're the link is always in my show notes to the ICAP conference. But Renee, so geez, as I'm reading your bio, I'm just thinking to myself, of course she's a perfect guest for this podcast, especially because you recognize, as do most of the guests that I have, the complexities and the confusion that surround our field, right? Especially lately. So, and the things we have in common is I've been practicing for a long time. I'm not an IBCLC as long as you are, but I've been practicing as a nurse and a midwife for about as long. And we both have a grandson. We both have our first child is around the same age. My son was born in 91. Your daughter was born in 90, right? So we have so many things in common. But the reason that I wanted to have you as a guest was to talk about the another thing that we have in common is that we both are authors of a book about breastfeeding for parents. So tell us a little bit about your book.
Yeah, so I feel like there are so many good texts about breastfeeding. And the book that I wrote really, you know, it discusses breastfeeding, but it's really not a book about breastfeeding per se. I think it could help anyone, no matter how they're feeding their babies. If it's okay, I'm going to tell you about why I did this.
Absolutely.
Helping people with babies' feeding challenges since about 1997. Well, before that, as a volunteer with La Leche League, so 1991, I always found myself, you know, trying to explain things with various props that I had around. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed as time went on, that when I got more focused on tongue tie, and I worked in a tongue tie clinic for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. When I was showing or talking to people about their babies and giving them a little tour of their baby's mouth or giving them a little tour of the way their baby was scrunching to one side, they kind of went deer in the headlights. I have found that, you know, parents are like, but wait, my baby's perfect. Mm-hmm. They're starting to think there's something wrong with their baby. And what I found to be a more effective tool is to show them a photo. Mm-hmm. And I do that a lot with online consultations. I'll bring up a, you know, a video or a photo or something. And then I could just tell visibly they were calming down. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to make a little photo album of all the things that I want to teach parents about their baby's tongues and lips. And then I was like, well, maybe other people would like that. So mm-hmm. 4.5 years later, it got published. Mm-hmm. So,
and the name of the book? I didn't
the
announce
book
the name.
Is
Fit to Be Tied.
Fit to Be Tied. The double entendre was just about, you know, the frustration that people encounter. And it's mostly photos. It's about 70 photos in 50 some pages.
Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful photos. And the book is gorgeous. I mean, I've told you that before. I couldn't wait to get it. But when I actually had it in my hand, it's just gorgeous. You know, the photos just are expertly selected. And the little, you know, words, it's not a textbook, so to speak, with a lot of words, but the text that you have in there is important and fits perfectly, and it's easy to see and easy to understand. And I agree, we are becoming more and more visual as a culture. You know, everything's about what it looks like, right? Nobody wants to read; they just want to see a picture. And I so admire, as someone who self-published my own book, I was in awe of seeing that you got those pictures in, because what I did in my book was I didn't use pictures. I just used descriptions.
You were smart.
Well, I was lazy. I was lazy. I was like, I just want to get this out. So my book is called It Shouldn't Hurt to Nurse Your Baby. And I got to look. Healing the 6 Most Common Causes of Nipple Pain. So, and that book I wrote very much the same. It evolved out of what do I do when a dyad comes to me and I want, you know, we write almost the same notes over and over mm-hmm. and over. So I had this extensive nipple care, you know, thing that I would copy and paste and then, you know, fix it to fit the particular situation.
Right.
But there were certain things that I wanted everybody to know about what can cause nipple pain. And tongue tie isn't even the first one on there, because most of the time it's not tongue tie.
Exactly.
Right? So, you know, whatever. So it's very simple. And I keep saying to myself, the only way I'm going to get this book to be really successful is if I put illustrations, and I just keep putting it on the back burner. But anyway,
well, you need to put them in a bundle, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun. It's fun. It's a helpful book. And like I had a patient today and instead of me telling her, if this happens, use this. If that happens, use that. I just handed her the book, you know, it's helpful. So it really is it works. But compared to your book, like I'm bowing down to you, Renee, because the work that goes into it. And I just want you to know that those of us who are working, practicing lactation consultants and other providers can use this book as well, appreciate the work you put into it and and whoever you got to help you with how the pictures were arranged and all that, which is not an easy thing.
You know, I have to tell you that I've had various iterations of this and I don't know if you know Carol Gray, but I asked her to look it over. And she basically, when she sent the email back, the PDF, she said, get a glass of wine. And, you know, she was the one who said, you know, this is really great, but you need to make sure the photos are all high resolution. Mm-hmm. And she really helped me. And she helped me understand that a lot of the ways that I was writing originally was not really for parents. It was more for professionals. And yes, Tiana Kelly, my wonderful designer, she was the one that was able to take these photos, some of which were taken with an iPhone by my clients and sent to me, and make them look really crisp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then so many colleagues sent me pictures. I asked for, can somebody send me pictures of a nipple that, you know, and they did.
Right.
So it wasn't just me.
Right. And I don't know if people listening know this, but it's really hard to get actual breastfeeding pictures like on the internet. Like you could steal pictures, but that's not right, you know. But to get like in all the sites, you can get gorgeous pictures of everything. But I mean, I was just trying to find a graphic of the difference of what it looks like inside the mouth, like almost like a cartoon I wanted of a breast in a mouth. And a artificial nipple in the mouth. And I couldn't find that.
Yeah.
You know, so like simple things that you're like, oh, yeah, yes, there's lots of pictures of babies with a bottle in their mouth. But I wanted to see inside without it being a sonogram picture. I'm making a simple presentation. I'm like, I just want to show this. And you can't find it. So it's hard.
I have to say, Lisa, I was very stubborn too, because people suggested, well, there's some really great stock photos of XYZ.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I did not want to do that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about paying for them. I didn't care about that. I wanted it to be personal. And, you know, most of these babies were in my practice and I kind of know their stories.
Yeah. So. And it's real then, you know, it's real if you know their stories, because I don't know. My first instinct about pictures of tongue tie goes against having a book with pictures of babies who are tongue tied, because what do we always say? And this is important, I think, for people who may be new to the field or are in other professions other than IBCLCs. You know, this isn't about what it looks like. Right. It's about how it functions.
Right.
But once you know how it functions, it's important to see the changes in what it looks like, right? You know, so there's that. There's that aspect of it. Because I run a support group that I don't let people post pictures and say, is this a tie?
Right.
Right? So people may be saying, well, then why does she love Renee's book? And the reason is because we know by Renee telling us what the functional aspect is of these pictures that are in the book.
When I began to work in this field, I quickly realized that school didn't teach me enough about tongue tie. I wanted the opportunity to learn firsthand from an experienced professional. I had so many questions. Can you relate? Good news. I've created the Professional's Guide to Tongue Tie in the Breastfeeding Infant just for you. You'll get 4 recorded video modules, downloads to share with your patients, admission to a thriving multidisciplinary community for networking, sharing, and continued learning, and 4 LSERPs. All the details are on the website at tongueTieExperts.net/pro course. use code PODCAST15 to save 15% off this and all of my courses. Can't wait to see you in the group.
Well, and I think there's a story or two in there showing a baby with a very, you know, tight upper lip when she's breastfeeding. And what resolved it was helping with the tongue, mm-hmm. not the lip.
Right, right.
And so, you know, this is all, it's kind of, I also have a class for doulas that's basically about how to assess for tongue tie and get some hints that there might be a tongue tie just by a visual rather than getting their fingers in the baby's mm-hmm. mouth. And this is sort of similar, like these are giving you little hints.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, the questions that you're going to ask. But mm-hmm. but really, it is in a voice to the parents. Mm-hmm. I would love for parents to start buying this little book and mm-hmm. just so they feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hear something that doesn't seem right to them, they can feel that they have a place to go to kind of look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I think going back to what you said earlier about parents getting upset, rightly upset, when they hear that something's wrong with their baby, because mm-hmm. to them, their baby is perfect. To see, here's what my baby's mouth looks like. And there's other babies whose mouths look like this.
Yes.
It kind of normalizes that for them, so they don't feel like their kid is a one-off or something, or there's something really mm-hmm. strange going on here that nobody else has seen, you know? So I think that's good too. And also for them to have, I mean, I'm all for education and empowerment. They have this tool that they can use. So if you're a parent, if you're an expectant parent, if you're a parent of kids, if you have somebody having a baby, buy Renee's book, because it's not an expensive investment. It's a great baby shower gift. I feel the same about my book too. Like it yeah. should be at every baby shower, right? If anybody who's planning to breastfeed. And for yours, it's not just for breastfeeding, because we know that there's an impact on bottle feeding for babies who are tongue and lip tied. So I think that both of our books are great. But I don't want this just to sound like a commercial. It's just me being grateful that we have this tool and that we've both come to a very similar place in separate locations, right? You're from where you're from. I'm from New York. And we have such similar experiences that bring us to the same type of situation, right? So it's cool. I love it. So what was the hardest thing about writing the book? The pictures, getting them?
The hardest thing was finding, I have to tell you, I kind of overwhelmed my first two designers
okay.
who were really just trying to help, but didn't have the background of putting a book together, which is a whole different thing than just, oh yeah, I can do a layout.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. You know, and that was the hardest thing. And then when I finally, I mean, Tiana has worked with me on lots of projects before. I don't know why I didn't just immediately go, oh, yes. But she, and then she decided she wanted to get a full-time job.
Uh-oh.
So she wasn't as available. And then I got COVID and then I had long COVID. So that it was a lot of, a lot of time because mm-hmm. of various people things. But I think one of the hardest things in terms of just actually doing it is I'm just really a perfectionist. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't trying to tell anybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, and I wasn't diagnosing anything mm-hmm. or overstepping at all. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure this is informational and using terms that everybody can understand.
Mm-hmm.
those things were very important for me because we have our lingo, right? Yeah. And it's just so, it just comes out of our mouths.
Yeah.
And so just making sure that I wasn't using those kind of words, my kids helped me a lot. Like I said something about Nairs.
Oh, okay.
And they're like, what's that?
Right.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange because there are so many ways that we speak, especially being in the field for so long, that you just assume that everybody understands what you're saying. I even had something in a patient I saw recently, and I said, do you see how your baby's got this tightness?
Mm-hmm.
And even that, which isn't really a medical term.
Nope.
Right? But I could see this tension, right? Tension. I should have used the word, you know, and I said that your baby's tense. And she was like, what do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. What do I do? How do you know? You know, and I had to step back and say, I have to be careful because I say that a lot, assuming that people know that babies are born with tension and they don't know that, you know, so
right.
It was interesting.
Parents think tension. Oh yeah. I get stressed out all the time too.
Right.
It's like, no, your baby's not stressed out.
And just so I'll go a little further and explain what was going on with this baby. She was 5 weeks old and I put her in tummy time on my scale. And she literally couldn't put her, she almost turned over. And then when I put her on her back, she couldn't put her bottom half down. So she was continually trying to be in flexion and a little asynclitic, which means not centered tension. So I'm not a chiropractor, a PT or an OT. From a lay point of view or from someone with my experience point of view, I can, you know, very confidently say something's going on with this kid's muscles or fascia or something that's not letting them relax. And that's what I tried to explain. That's how she finally understood what I was saying was we want your baby to be more relaxed than she is so that she can have full range of motion, which is another term, full range of motion. What does that mean?
She can
turn evenly to both sides and be comfortable in both position in all positions on your breast and in her body. And, you know, then this poor little baby was having some GI upset too. And, you know, there was a lot going on and our experienced eye can come out and say like things that are like mind blowing to parents. And I have to step back and go, okay. And then the other thing that's interesting, you wrote this for parents. My book is for parents, but I'm also involved in a project where we're doing community events. And we were told to speak to the level, pretend that the people in the audience are intelligent 12th graders. No, intelligent 12-year-olds. So intelligent 12-year-olds are in the audience. And what words are you going to use?
Right.
So that because this is a community event. It's not for medical professionals. It's for parents. It's for teachers and stuff like that. So it's a little plug for that. That's the Airway Revolution Foundation. And you'll be hearing a lot about that, Renee. Hopefully soon. We're making a documentary. It's a major project for education for all people in the United States. But trying to get education about airway into medical and dental schools.
Oh, that's so important.
Yeah. I'm really thrilled about it. But it's going to be a major documentary. I'm going to be a movie star.
No. What?
No, if I'm not cut out of the final copy, we'll see.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. But it's the impact that it's making locally is really incredible. So again, it's just about learning to use the right language. So even though your book was made for medical for parents, medical professionals who don't know about breastfeeding, who don't know about tongue tie, who don't know about bottle feeding even, but have babies in their scope of practice can really benefit from this. Because I think sometimes we learn from those simple things better than the textbooks because it's real.
Absolutely. And I think What I've been very excited about is a lot of doulas have been buying my book. Mm-hmm. And then they're telling me that when they're sitting down with their clients and they're able to just show them some pictures again. Mm-hmm. And I would like it to be in every pediatric office.
Yeah. Honestly.
You know, and just, of course, it's hard to access the people who don't need it as much are not the ones who are,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's really hard to tell a pediatrician that they need some basic education about infant oral anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know how it starts? I don't know if you've had this experience, but once they have their own baby, they start mm-hmm. looking a little differently at the babies in their care.
Oh, yeah. And, many pediatricians in my community already say, hey, I don't know about that. Refer to mm-hmm. a lactation consultant, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
But it's nice. So one of the things that I felt was really important to include in this book is a list of questions to ask your potential tongue-tie provider.
Well, you see, we think the same, because that's one of my handouts in my course.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. I wonder if they're the same questions. That's so cool. We should compare.
Probably.
I actually have the handout that people can get through the link in my show notes of questions to ask a provider. Because I think that that's key to what type of provider they are. Are they educated? Do they have a team? Mm-hmm. You know, all the things. That's so cool.
Have you ever wished you could help that mom who is questioning if she has enough milk? Ever wanted to either reassure her or know when to refer? As a lactation consultant, I created the program Understanding Milk Supply for Medical and Birth Professionals to help you to feel more confident in those exact situations. This affordable, recorded video mini course is open to anyone who works with pregnant or breastfeeding families. It's a particularly valuable opportunity if you're an SLP or an OT who wants to gain an understanding of how breast milk is made, or a dentist in the field who is often the first line provider for tongue tie treatment. The function of the infant at the breast depends on milk supply. Even if care of the mom isn't in your scope, there are basic principles that you can learn that may rescue a family's feeding goals. In Understanding Milk Supply, I teach you what red flags to look for, when to refer, who to refer to, and how to advise the family in the meantime. And there's one LSERP included for lactation professionals. Go to www.tonguetieexperts.net/milksupply. The link is clickable in the show notes. And as always, you can use coupon code PODCAST15 to save 15% off this and all Tongue Tie Experts courses. Thanks so much.
See, we're like, I don't know, we're like sisters who never met or something.
Birds of a feather.
Oh, that's great. So what has been the most exciting thing so far about writing this book?
Okay, that's easy, because I was terrified to publish this book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other reason it didn't happen for a while, because I was really putting it off. And I was trying to think of a good date that was auspicious. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And terrified because what my colleagues think of me is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how they would feel about it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't told very many people that I was working on it, because I was afraid that somebody would say it was a dumb idea, and I didn't want to hear that. So, you know, this is like mm-hmm. classic.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what was really cool is when people said, sight unseen, I just said I was... here's the book. I told people about it, and they said, oh my gosh, I'm ordering it right now. I'm ordering it right now. Mm-hmm. And that's all I needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I told people, I don't even care if it makes any money. Mm-hmm. I just want to, well, I kind of do, but I.
Yeah, it's really hard to make money with a book. It's
yeah. Really, but the hard. Main thing was that people didn't think it was dumb, mm-hmm. and that my colleagues thought it was a valuable asset to them.
And, right. And
that's,
they do.
That's what people have been saying. Yeah. And so.
Yeah. So there's that imposter syndrome, right?
Oh, yeah.
So me too. I mean,
big time.
You know, here I am calling myself the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. Like, whoa, who does she think she is, right? And I only chose it because it would get attention. Like, what else was I going to title this? You know, I'm talking about tongue tie. And I say all the time, I don't mean that I'm the expert. I mean that I'm interviewing experts, right? So,
right.
But I could, that was my thing. Like, how can I do this? You know, this is like really, people going to think I have a big ego or whatever. And then the book wasn't, I didn't feel that much imposter syndrome about the book, but definitely this podcast was a little bit challenging. And the course, because, you know, there's the haters. You're going to have the haters.
There's always the haters.
Yeah. And then you start looking at other courses that may be better or whatever and prettier or whatever and comparing. Why would they buy my course if they could buy that course or whatever? But then I realized that each of us has a unique perspective, right? Mm-hmm. You have a unique perspective that people needed to see, and that, you know, that imposter syndrome just holds us back. But I definitely relate to that. My goodness.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, my daughters are like, what are you so concerned about? I mean, mm-hmm. you've been doing this for a really long time.
Well, that's why you were concerned, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah. That's funny.
And besides, whenever I would, there were times when I would, there were a few people who knew I was doing this, I would say, well, what do you think of this color for the cover? And you know, they would tell me what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it wasn't positive or
wasn't what you wanted to hear.
You shouldn't have a picture of a baby crying on the front. And I'm like, well, that's kind of how you show about a tongue tie.
Yeah.
And so,
wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it all worked out.
Yes, it did. The first iteration of my book, I had a picture. It was actually a friend of mine who was, I actually midwifed her, but she was my friend. And it was a picture of her nursing, a gorgeous picture that she had done by her sister-in-law, who's a photographer. And it was an actual picture, but we blurred, if I said that right. And some of the feedback I got was, you know, there's certain communities that don't want to see a real woman breastfeeding. And I was like, oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, but this is a breastfeeding book, you know, mm-hmm. but I caved to that. And I make like a cartoon on the next one. Cause I was in, at the time I was working in a pretty religious community mm-hmm. that you know, I realized whenever I gave out the book, it was uncomfortable for the families.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, you know what? All right. I'll take her picture off and I'll put on a cartoon character.
Well, and you have to respect that.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I had a beautiful picture of one of my clients bottle feeding her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally had that on the cover. And then I realized, okay, if I have bottle feeding, then I have to have breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, you know what? This really isn't about feeding that much.
Mm-hmm.
So we just took them all out of the cover. Mm-hmm. There are photos on the inside,
mm-hmm.
but because really I didn't want to give people the notion that I was going to tell them about feeding their babies.
Okay. That's smart.
Because you know, you've got that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other than the book, there's another thing that I don't know if you're comfortable talking about our other mutual experience, which is being grandma.
Oh yeah. I always like that.
And how different it is to take care of your grandchild and the experiences that we learn from taking care of our own grandchildren. I know people who follow me hear me talk about my grandson's and my daughter's experience all the time, but you've had similarly unique experiences. And if you're comfortable just talking a little bit about it,
sure.
I think that would be lovely to hear.
I'm calling him Bubba for purposes of Because I'm going to do a talk about him at ICAP, a case study, and my daughter suggested that I not use his name. But, you know, it's interesting, right? Because they know that I know things. And, but I also, we have to be careful about inserting ourselves too much into their decisions. And I did, you know, shortly after he was born, sit down with my, well, there are two things. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting myself, but this is what I do. My daughter has heard me talk about all this stuff since she was born.
Right.
And so it's not foreign to her. And in fact, but she married somebody that's not the case.
Right.
And
yeah, we had a similar situation here.
And he was raised in a very different way than my daughter was. And with very different ethos about everything. And so when I wanted to talk to them about some things that I was seeing and then they thought should have some intervention, I said, okay, is it okay with you if I be your lactation consultant right now? And I'm just going to, for 30 minutes, I'm just going to expound on the things that I'm seeing and what I think should happen here to help him, you know, in his life. And they said, okay, do it, you know? And I said, okay, ask any questions you want. And then I'm going to go back to being Nanai. That's my grandma name. And, you know, and that's kind of how it's been. Elena has asked me, my daughter has asked me questions, you know, occasionally about milk supply or, you know, things like that. And it's great that I can help with that. I recommended the pump. I helped her fit flanges, you know, all of that stuff. But it is very tricky. And I have to keep remembering, unfortunately, we learn this as IBCLCs, right? Not my baby.
Even when it feels like it's your baby.
Even when he kind of is my baby.
Yes, he is your baby.
He is my baby.
Yeah. As we learn as well, you do the education, you give them the information, and then what they do with it is their choice, their business, their whatever. And we don't always assimilate the information right away. If you're,
and also they're doing really great.
Right. That's the other thing. Right.
I have to say the other thing that, I think this may have left my brain. Oh, the other thing that I learned that was so valuable for me is that even though my daughter, I know, could sit down with anybody and help them with latching and positioning and teach them about milk supply just because of her knowledge, she would come to me with things that she saw on social media and say, you know, I'm kind of worried about this thing right here. And I'm like, you know, this isn't true. But she says, but that is, it's so impactful when you're seeing it all the time. And that was really interesting to
me. That is interesting. And, you know, I've even seen things on social media that I'll say to myself, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't know that because it's not true.
Yes, me too.
And this person appears to be such an authority and so in the know and so beautiful and feeling like everything is right in their world and whatever comes out of their mouth, people believe, you know?
Yep.
But I like the going down the rabbit hole of how our kids have experienced things and what they've absorbed. Both of my girls at a certain time, my older daughter, the one that has the baby, and my younger daughter, who's 22, is currently acting like a nanny, like she's a babysitter. And my older daughter was like a nanny too. And I remember my older daughter saying, Mom, like she would come home so frustrated with the things she was seeing and the way she was being instructed to feed this kid or, you know, like.
Same.
And she would say, I'm learning what not to do with my own kids.
Wow.
You know, and then my little one, she's like, Mom, this kid has a tongue tie. He spits up. He can't finish the bottle. He's dripping all over. They're not using the right bottle. She's like, what should I tell them? I'm like, nothing, nothing. You can't tell them anything. Like, just, but my 22-year-old who's got no medical training except growing up in my house, you know, knows all these things, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. My younger daughter, she's 30, my younger one. She told me when she was in high school, she had a really good relationship with her science teacher, and her science teacher was out on leave to have a baby. And when she came back, Emily asked her how it was going. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you know, it's going fine, but you know, I still have sore nipples. Yeah. And I said, well, what did you tell her? You know, she said, well, I told her to make sure the baby's mouth is open wide and head tipped back and help them come to the breast when the mouth was open really wide. And the teacher came back the next day and said, that worked.
Wow. How cool is that? I love that the teacher was open enough to share that I still have sore nipples. You know?
I know. Well, she was her teacher's aide and, you know.
Yeah. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. So I was very proud of the information that she just absorbed just mm-hmm. by hearing me talk to people on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, I remember my older daughter like suggesting different bottles for some babies or, you know, gently suggesting maybe this or maybe that, or, you know, maybe you shouldn't be feeding them, I don't know, chicken nuggets and, you
know. Or Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I digress. Renee, is there anything else about the book that you know, that I didn't ask you about that you, you know, like, wait, I didn't share. I didn't tell Lisa this. I didn't tell her audience that. It's on Amazon, right? And I'm going to have the links in the show notes.
Thanks. Yeah, I think do you have a favorite chapter, Lisa?
I couldn't tell you offhand.
My favorite chapter, and my favorite chapter when I was working on it, is called Tongue Tie and Lip Tie, Show Me the Signs.
Uh-huh.
And I like it because it's sort of, there's just a lot of photos of how things might look with the idea of, you know, maybe I should check with a lactation consultant about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that chapter, I think, has the most photos. It has a lot of photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, people have told me that they've appreciated the photos of and showing the process of actual procedures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is what they do. These are the questions they're going to ask. This is what it looks like, because I do have photos of providers actually doing the assessment and mm-hmm. doing the procedure and what it looks like afterwards, and some of the healing mm-hmm. pictures, what it's yeah. typical to look like.
It's so important for parents to see, because mm-hmm. if you're not prepared for what that healing looks like, it looks like something's wrong, or it exactly. could look like something's wrong. Yeah.
And I always had little photos to show them, but, you know, this is, I think it's better to have it all
mm-hmm,
in one absolutely. Thing. And honestly, Lisa, I'm just so happy it's done.
Well, it's not done, because now it's born. And right. now you have to raise it.
But I don't have to keep thinking I should be working on this right now.
No,
I need to make sure that
yeah.
all the periods are in the right place.
And you should be very proud, because how many people have an idea about a book and never go through with it, you know, so...
Turns out there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Lisa, you know, I'm proud of you. I mean, you've built this amazing following.
Oh, thank you.
And which I didn't really know about until I met you at ICAP.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what's great about ICAP. We meet people that have so much in common with us, but just enough differences that we learn a little bit from everybody mm-hmm. we meet, right? I love that. I love the community of it. I mean, we even have nice online, you know,
mm-hmm.
Community. So join ICAP. I promise. I'm not making any money from telling you to join ICAP. Everybody join ICAP.
And just so many disciplines. That's the other thing. You know, after going to lactation conferences for years and years mm-hmm. and years, and we're all kind of the same in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's really nice to meet with all the different disciplines that help people with ties.
Mm-hmm. And other things, not just ties.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And the camaraderie among the disciplines, mm-hmm. the respect that we all have for each other.
We have to have that yes. or else, yes. I mean, because this is such a team. Yeah. It needs to be a team effort. I can't yeah. do everything.
Right.
The providers can't do everything. Right. The body workers can't do everything.
Yeah. And the first, I mean, some of my listeners have heard me say this before. The first time I walked into an interdisciplinary conference, and it wasn't just one type of, because I'm in a few different silo groups. I'm an RN, I'm a lactation consultant, I'm a midwife. So I could go to all these conferences and be with only those people. And I walked into this room and there were dentists and doctors and occupational therapists and physical therapists and speech language pathologists and myofunctional therapists. And I could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, and everyone is open to learning from the other profession. So mm-hmm. I just spoke at a conference and I had dentists and doctors in my room. And to me, that means more. I mean, I love talking to lactation consultants, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I love talking to, you know, we're each other's people, whatever. But to be respected and thanked by other professions is what it's all about, because we have to blend our mm-hmm. learning, or we won't be doing the best for the patients that come to us. You know.
Yeah, so, and especially your topic, you were talking about the.
I was talking about mom. Yeah, yeah. All about mom, which as a midwife, that's my heart. You know, and the experience of a mother postpartum, and the experience of a mother whose baby is diagnosed with something that seems insurmountable right. to her at the time.
And sometimes a dentist who's just thinking they're going to, you know, fix something in this baby's mouth, that's not where their focus is. And
right, right.
I think it's just so yeah. important that everybody just slow down and remember yeah. we're talking about a family.
Yeah, yeah. So I won't give too much of that away because I'm speaking about that at ICAP. I'm also doing the Gold Conference in September.
Oh,
on
yay.
That topic, which is the first time I'll be speaking for Gold. I'm very excited and honored that they asked me. And after that settles, maybe I'll do a whole episode about my presentation, but I can't do that yet.
No, I've never heard it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun. So yeah, I think I've taken enough of your time, Renee. I know you have a very busy and full and wonderful life in Seattle. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in Cleveland, right? That's where we're going for
in
the next
May.
Conference in May. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be here before we blink.
Yeah, it will.
I'm not sure when this will air. This will probably be March. And then we'll have some time.
Well, thanks,
right.
Lisa.
Thank you so much for being
it.
Here. Everybody buy the book.
I'll give you a hug. In May.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And all the links that we talked about and all the information about Renee will be in the show notes. So click through and be sure to like and follow the podcast so that you don't miss other episodes. And if you give us a follow, even if you think you'll come back every week or every 2 weeks when we publish, if you follow the podcast, then the podcast apps push us up in the algorithm and more people see us. And if you think this information is important to get out to all professionals and all parents of young babies, then I appreciate that help that you give. Thanks so much for being here. Have a wonderful day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Tongue Tie Experts podcast. Check out the show notes for useful links about the topics we discussed and for ways to follow us on social media. Please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. And if you enjoyed listening, we'd love it if you'd rate, review, and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.